The Old Testament reading is taken from the book of Genesis, chapter 14, reading from verse 17 to verse 20. Genesis 14, 17 to 20. Let us hear the word of God. After Abram returned from defeating Kedorlaomer and the kings allied with him, the king of Sodom came out to meet him in the valley of Shaveh, that is, the king's valley. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High, and he blessed Abram, saying, "Blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand." Then Abram gave him a tenth of everything. The word of God.
The New Testament reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1 to 5. 2 Corinthians 9, 1 to 5. There is no need for me to write to you about the service to the saints, for I know your eagerness to help, and I have been boasting about it to the Macedonians, telling them that since last year you in Achaia were ready to give, and your enthusiasm has stirred most of them to action. But I'm sending the brothers in order that our boasting about you in this matter should not prove hollow, but that you may be ready as I said you would be. For if any Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to say anything about you, would be ashamed of having been so confident. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to visit you in advance and finish the arrangements for the generous gift you have promised. Then it will be ready as a generous gift and not as one grudgingly given. This is the word of God.
St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 23, verses 23 to 26. Matthew 23 to 26. "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law: justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. You blind guides, you strain out a gnat but swallowed a camel. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside also will be clean." Beloved, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The theme for today is show God that is first in your life. Show God that is first in your life. We've dedicated the month of February to teach on tithing. So I'm just going to give the introduction of the whole topic, tithing. Next Sunday, the very Reverend Ayi will continue. The third Sunday, Dr. Jonathan will continue. And then the fourth Sunday, I conclude. In the first reading, we are told that five kings attacked Sodom and Gomorrah, and they defeated Sodom and Gomorrah, and they took all the inhabitants and their spoils. They took everything, including Lot with his possessions. So we're told that somebody, one of them who escaped, came and told Abraham, "Hey, they've taken your nephew and all his possessions." Abraham said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "Yes." So Bible says Abraham mobilized 318 men of valor, and they went and defeated the five kings with all their troops, and was able to rescue his nephew and all his possessions. And as he was coming back, he was returning, we were told that the king of Sodom and Gomorrah met him. And Melchizedek, the priest of Salem, came out and offered him bread and wine. And he, in turn, gave a tenth of everything that he had, including that of the spoils that belongs to Lot. A tenth. And this is the first time Bible mentioned tithing. Abraham gave a tenth. Abraham acknowledged God as in all. Abraham acknowledged that it is God, it is the hand of God that gave him the victory. So Abraham, as an act of thanksgiving, as an act of acknowledging that God is all in all, is first in his life, he offered a tenth of all that he had. So Abraham, as a sign of gratitude and submission to God, offered a tenth. So Psalm 24 and verse 1, Psalm 24 and verse 1 will say that the earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, the world, and all who live in it. So Abraham acknowledged this. And we're told that Melchizedek, wherefore Melchizedek? Melchizedek, typologically, signified or represented Christ, the Messiah. So if you read Psalm 110, Psalm 110 and verse 4, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind, you are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. So Melchizedek represented Jesus Christ, the Messiah. So he came and gave to Jesus, gave tithe to Jesus. And again, Hebrews 5, 6, if you read Hebrews chapter 5 verse 6, and he says in another place, you are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. So he gave. It's all in all. And some people used to say that, oh, tithing is it's an Old Testament law. Abraham gave tithe 400 years later before the law. Abraham gave tithe 400 years later before the law. When the Lord came, the law rectified it. And the prophets of old. But tithing is biblical. There's nothing about, no, tithing is the law. We are not under law. We are now under grace. Abraham gave tithe 400 years before the law. So tithing is biblical. It's biblical. Beloved of the Lord, tithing is not about how much money the church can raise. Tithing is a test of faith to help us grow in our relationship with God. Beloved, the reason we have set aside the month of February to talk about tithing is not because the church needs money. No. Or because we want to complete the day accord. No. The reason is because it is a crucial element of your relationship, of my relationship with God. Martin Luther once said that a Christian must be converted three times. One, his mind. Two, his heart. And three, his wallet. And he says that the most difficult conversion is the wallet. In other words, he's trying to say that we worship the Lord with everything that we have. with our intellect, with our soul, with our substance, everything that we have, we worship the Lord with it. So giving or tithing is not a duty, but a way to worship the Lord. To worship the Lord with our minds, with our hearts, with the fruits of our labors is very, very important. A tithe is a trust fund. Because you are saying to God, I trust you with my finances. And I believe that 90% with my blessings that I give, I can spend more than 100%. And that is true. Beloved Lord, if you can trust God with your soul, and that's why we are all striving. We come to church trying to pray to God so that when this life is no more, we'll find a blissful place. So if you can trust God with your soul, then you can trust Him with your finances. God has a way of making the 90% that we keep to ourselves up to even above the 100%. He is God. So tithing is a way of raising true and committed Christians. It is the word of God. And we believe in the word of God. And we follow the word of God. It is a command. It is not a request. It is a command from the Most High God. And the Most High God is saying that you do it, blessings upon blessings will abound. Tithing is as much a part of the Christian gratitude and obedience as any commandment God ever gave. So Psalm 34 verse 8. Psalm 34 verse 8 says, as I taste and see that the Lord is good, blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. Psalm 13 verse 6. Psalm 13 and verse 6 tells us the same thing. That you give and the Lord blesses you. I will sing to the Lord. He says, I will sing to the Lord. He has been good to me. And the famous Psalm 103 verse 2. Praise the Lord, O my soul. And forget. Forget not all. Not some. Not some. All His benefits. So as we give fire to God, that's what we are telling God. That we love you. God deserves our obedience, with or without our blessings. But the truth is, God never demands obedience without a promise of blessing. God never demands obedience without a promise of blessing. Our obedience moves God's heart. He's touched by our gratitude. So our obedience moves His heart and He's touched by our gratitude. So, you know, some people, we have some basic questions that people ask. You know, when it comes to tithing, you know, some people don't tithe because they simply have not been taught. So we have no idea about it. And that's why the reason why. Fine, that is great. But the Bible says that, how can they hear? Romans 10:14 tells us that, no, how can they hear if there's no preacher? So that's very true. And that is the reason why the clergy of Akari Church, we've proposed in our heart to teach tithing. So that you know the spiritual benefits of tithing. So Romans 10:14, how can they call on Him they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And that's why we are teaching tithing. Tithing is a command from the Lord that we should do it. And as a priest, it is my responsibility, it is our responsibility to teach on tithing. Because when this life is no more, when we stand before the throne of grace, we shall be judged. Did you teach them about tithing, about my blessing, how to be obedient to me? so that you shall be well with them. Did you do it? I will not want to be held responsible when this life is no more. Likewise, my colleagues. And that's why we are teaching tithing. So fine, you don't know about tithing. Thank God we are teaching about tithing. And I pray that the good Lord will touch your heart. The good Lord will speak to your heart, because tithing is a spiritual activity. Will touch your heart to understand it to the glory of God. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we his good will, he abides with us still. Before who will trust and obey, trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus, but to trust. Again, some Christians do not tithe because of a misunderstanding of the place of God, saying that no, it is from the law. And I've explained it, that the first time that tithing was mentioned in the Bible, when Abraham gave tithe, 400 years later before the law, 400 years after, long before, and the law found it expedient to confirm it, to ratify it. The prophets came, they said, fine, and they ratified it. Another question, should we tithe the gross or the net? The Lord's tithe is 10% of our gross, 10% of our salary, 10% of our wages, 10% of our net gain if we are in business for ourselves. Get it? Income, wage, 10%. 10% of our net gain if we are in business for ourselves. The Social Security and what have you that they take will come back to you. All the deductions will come back to you. So gross, not the net. We are following God's commandments. Social Security and all those things, income tax will be used for our own good and all. So what we are saying is to come back to you. Give it to God solely. The 90% belongs to you. The 90% belongs to you. And someone will ask, storehouse. What does storehouse mean? What does storehouse mean? Is it the church? Or if I moved and I want to donate to an orphanage, what is it? The storehouse is the house of God. The church where you belong. The church where you worship. You bring your fire to the storehouse of God. The church of God is in mission. The church of God is in mission. So you bring your fire to the house of God, and the house of God will use it for mission. I don't know whether you normally study the financial report of the Akari Church, the annual financial report, and you see what we do with the money that we receive here. And that's what we call mission. It is the task of the church to do mission. Support orphanages, support, and if you look at the budget, giving to the blind, giving to the lame, supporting Christian Council of Ghana, supporting Trinity College, supporting hospital ministry, evangelism, the scholarship for the needy, and so many. So we use, you bring it to the storehouse of God, and that is what the church will use it for. I'll be in my office, and they'll write to the coordinating minister, to solicit for funds, and I have to endorse it and give it to society. Give them. That is the mission of the church. You bring it to the storehouse And the church uses it for mission. The 90% belongs to you. If you want to support an orphanage, fine, take it from your 90%. That is you. If you want to support a needy cousin or niece or what have you, no support, fine, take it from the 90%. Don't tie it to tithe. Don't tie it to tithe. The command is clear. Bring it to the storehouse of God, and the church will use it for mission. That is our task. That is the Great Commission. Spread the word. Spread the word. And as we sit here, we are the body of Christ. The body of Christ, the church. So you give to the church. That's the storehouse. And the church uses it for mission. It is very, very important. Should we tithe on our pension? Pensioners, you need tithe. Oh yes, because I've filed for all these years. All these years I've been in. Now I've retired. My pension, should I tithe on the pension? It's left with you and your God. Tithing, I said, it's obedience to the will of God. You are obeying the will of God. And we need to obey the will of God until we breathe our last. We need to obey the will of God until we breathe our last. If we are, we said that we are being obedient. I know a lot of people, a lot of pensioners who pay tithe. They pay tithe. Because they believe that it's a commandment. And they need to obey the commandment of God. And God will bless them. But if you are still doubting, think about it. Think about it. No. When I was at Sakumono, Christ the King. Harvest fundraising will give envelope to the Assemblies of God Church. No, if you know Christ the King, Sakumono, we have the Agan Church and then the Methodist Church and then the Assemblies of God. Every fundraising, because we're struggling to build that the church chapel by then. So any fundraising, we gave envelope to the Assemblies of God Church. One day I was in a mission house and one of the IRS brought the envelope, but the envelope. Because said, Osofo, why do you always give us envelope, fundraising? And I said, oh, yes. And what about you? Don't you organize fundraising? He said, No. We don't organize fundraising. Our tithe is more than enough. So we don't organize fundraising. We don't organize any harvest. I said, wow. You are kidding me. He said, have we brought you any envelope since you were transferred to this church? I said, that is the spirit behind tithing. You bring it to the storehouse, and the storehouse of God will use it for mission. You know, that small church, they've established a Bible college. And they've gained affiliation with Trinity College. And they are now awarding diploma degrees. Bring it to the house of God. And the church of God will use it on our behalf, the body of Christ, to do mission. And the blessings will abound. Beloved the Lord. Someone gave a testimony about tithing. A person said, since I began to tithe, I've never been a millionaire. I've never drove a Rolls Royce. I've never built a house. But I've lived without the terror of financial adversities. I've lived without the terror of financial adversities. And that's what tithing does. That's what tithing does. You never run short. You never run short. You give, God will never allow you to run short of your finances or whatever you are doing. He is God. He slumbers not. He is God. Whatever he has promised, he is faithful. That is God. That's the God we serve. Beloved in the Lord. I always talk about this great man, John Rockefeller, a staunch Baptist. Age 35, was one of the millionaires in the U.S. At age 35. A staunch Baptist, very religious, but wasn't paying tithe. He wasn't paying tithe. Fabulously rich, but he wasn't paying tithe. He was going to church regularly, but he wasn't paying tithe. At age 37, he was diagnosed of an incurable disease and was told that in a month's time, he will pass away. And that's what I challenge all Christians to do. He wasn't tithing, but he's heard about tithing. That if you tithe, the blessings will abound in diverse ways. So let me give you a trial. Let me give the trial. So he began to tithe. He started tithing. He gave it a trial. Oh, test and see how gracious the Lord is. Why are you not testing and you are doubting? Test and see. So he started giving tithing. He started tithing. And apart from that, you know, setting up endowment funds and what have you. But he was tithing regularly. And the doctors said, we have never seen such a miracle before. He lived to be 97 years. He lived to be 97 years. And John Rockefeller will say that I owe it all to the tithing. You talk about tithing, you're not talking about no material gains, no where you have. The blessings come in diverse forms, diverse ways. Because the Lord we serve is faithful. If you are obedient in whatever you do, the God we serve is faithful and he will bless you. We are not under law. So why should we tithe 10th? We are under grace. And grace is telling you that if you're under grace, then you should even tithe more than 10%. In proportion to your blessing. That's what grace is telling you. In proportion to your blessing. Jesus never talked about tithing. We've read it in the gospel. Matthew 23, verse 23. Jesus said, oh, you scribes and Pharisees. Oh, I admire the way you tithe. So wonderful. But if you can translate the way you give tithe faithfully, if you can translate it to the things of God, showing mercy, showing love, showing kindness, it shall be well with you. So Jesus endorsed tithing. Jesus endorsed tithing. That if we give our tithe faithfully and serve God in spirit and in truth, the blessings will abound. I pray. This is just the introduction aspect. I pray that the good Lord himself will prepare us, even as the teachings come, Sunday after Sunday in the month of February. The good Lord himself will prepare our hearts and understand this spiritual teaching very well. Imbibe it into our lives and leave it to his greater glory. And it shall be well with us. Amen.